Task 2. You will hear part of a program. Read through the notes below and complete them by filling in the gaps according to what you hear. Gap 0 has been completed as an example. Now, read the notes.
This is, of course, Coffee Week at Morning Edition. We explore that substance because it's so intimate. Like your radio, coffee can be with you in a private moment, at home or in the car. It's also incredibly global, a substance that explains much of our modern world, which is the reason Mark Pendergrast wrote a book about it.
People think that I wrote this book because I was a coffee lover, and that's not true. I was interested in coffee as a way to look at the relationship between the developing world, the have-nots, and the haves.
Mark Pendergrast wrote Uncommon Grounds, The History of Coffee and How It Transformed Our World. He says coffee was discovered in Ethiopia. It spread through trade in the Arab world and eventually made its way to Europe.
As the colonial powers were beginning to try to spread themselves all over the place, they took coffee with them. So you had the Dutch take a coffee tree over to the East Indies and, by the way, and enslave the people there in order to grow it.
Mm-hmm.
Similarly, you had the French take a tree to Martinique in the early 1700s, and from that one tree, most of the trees in the Western Hemisphere spread. You know, one of the ironies about coffee is it makes people think. It sort of creates egalitarian places, coffee houses where people can come together. And so the French Revolution and the American Revolution were planned in coffee houses. On the other hand, that same coffee that was fueling the French Revolution was also being produced by African slaves who had been taken to San Domingo, which is what we now know as Haiti.
So the Europeans spread coffee cultivation through much of the colonial world because they were drinking it themselves. How did the consumption of coffee spread worldwide?
It took over Europe by storm in the latter part of the 17th century. And I argue in my book that it actually had a major impact on the rise of business. Lloyd's of London was founded in Lloyd's Coffee House. Bach and Beethoven created some of their finest works, scribbling away to coffee, some of it in coffee houses. A lot of literature began and newspapers began in coffee houses. And prior to coffee, people were drunk a lot of the time. They would get up and begin with beer soup in the morning and proceed from there. So really, Western civilization sobered up because of coffee starting in 1650.
When we talk about the spread of coffee in the world, there's a story that I learned as a kid. It involves the Boston Tea Party in the 1770s in the United States, when American colonists who were on their way to a revolution were said to have raided British tea ships and thrown crates of tea over the side. And then the story ends by saying that after that, Americans universally switched over from tea to coffee. Really?
There's a lot of truth to the story. I found a letter from John Adams to his wife Abigail saying, you know, I love tea, but I'm going to have to learn to do without it and to love coffee now because it's really unpatriotic for us to drink tea. It also helped that it was cheaper to get coffee from South America at that point than it was to get tea. So Americans have always been rather pragmatic, and part of the reason that we switched from tea to coffee was that it cost us less.
And was it also a matter of commercial independence? Americans could send ships to South America and get the coffee, but the tea trade probably ran in some fashion through Britain from other countries.
Yes, Americans were more independent by relying on coffee.
In its early years, when it spread throughout the colonial world, it sounds to me in your research that coffee comes across as a very destructive force, socially, politically. Would you say that that has all changed now?
By and large, I would say that it has all changed now, that coffee is actually a force for good in many ways. It's a way for smallholders, people who have limited access to other forms of making a living on these very steep mountainsides, can make a living at any rate, can actually put shoes on their children's feet. There are still many, many social issues involved with coffee, but it's getting better. People are more aware. People now have access to the internet and to cell phones, and so they know what kind of price they should be getting. So I see things getting better.
Mark Pendergrast is the author of the book Uncommon Grounds, and he knows his caffeine. The third edition of his book For God, Country, and Coca-Cola is out next month. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Now, listen again.
This is, of course, Coffee Week at Morning Edition. We explore that substance because it's so intimate. Like your radio, coffee can be with you in a private moment, at home or in the car. It's also incredibly global, a substance that explains much of our modern world, which is the reason Mark Pendergrast wrote a book about it.
People think that I wrote this book because I was a coffee lover, and that's not true. I was interested in coffee as a way to look at the relationship between the developing world, the have-nots, and the haves.
Mark Pendergrast wrote Uncommon Grounds, The History of Coffee and How It Transformed Our World. He says coffee was discovered in Ethiopia. It spread through trade in the Arab world and eventually made its way to Europe.
As the colonial powers were beginning to try to spread themselves all over the place, they took coffee with them. So you had the Dutch take a coffee tree over to the East Indies and, by the way, and enslave the people there in order to grow it.
Mm-hmm.
Similarly, you had the French take a tree to Martinique in the early 1700s, and from that one tree, most of the trees in the Western Hemisphere spread. You know, one of the ironies about coffee is it makes people think. It sort of creates egalitarian places, coffee houses, where people can come together. And so the French Revolution and the American Revolution were planned in coffee houses. On the other hand, that same coffee that was fueling the French Revolution was also being produced by African slaves who had been taken to San Domingo, which is what we now know as Haiti.
So the Europeans spread coffee cultivation through much of the colonial world because they were drinking it themselves. How did the consumption of coffee spread worldwide?
It took over Europe by storm in the latter part of the 17th century. And I argue in my book that it actually had a major impact on the rise of business. Lloyd's of London was founded in Lloyd's Coffee House. Bach and Beethoven created some of their finest works, scribbling away to coffee, some of it in coffee houses. a lot of literature began and newspapers began in coffee houses. And prior to coffee, people were drunk a lot of the time. They would get up and begin with beer soup in the morning and proceed from there. So really, Western civilization sobered up because of coffee starting in 1650.
When we talk about the spread of coffee in the world, there's a story that I learned as a kid. It involves the Boston Tea Party in the 1770s in the United States, when American colonists who were on their way to a revolution were said to have raided British tea ships and thrown crates of tea over the side. And then the story ends by saying that after that, Americans universally switched over from tea to coffee. Really?
There's a lot of truth to the story. I found a letter from John Adams to his wife Abigail saying, you know, I love tea, but I'm going to have to learn to do without it and to love coffee now because it's really unpatriotic for us to drink tea. It also helped that it was cheaper to get coffee from South America at that point than it was to get tea. So Americans have always been rather pragmatic, and part of the reason that we switched from tea to coffee was that it cost us less.
And was it also a matter of commercial independence? Americans could send ships to South America and get the coffee, but the tea trade probably ran in some fashion through Britain from other countries.
Yes, Americans were more independent by relying on coffee.
In its early years, when it spread throughout the colonial world, it sounds to me in your research that coffee comes across as a very destructive force, socially, politically. Would you say that that has all changed now?
By and large, I would say that it has all changed now, that coffee is actually a force for good in many ways. It's a way for smallholders, people who have limited access to other forms of making a living on these very steep mountainsides, can make a living at any rate, can actually put shoes on their children's feet. There are still many, many social issues involved with coffee, but it's getting better. People are more aware. People now have access to the internet and to cell phones, and so they know what kind of price they should be getting. So I see things getting better.
Mark Pendergrast is the author of the book Uncommon Grounds, and he knows his caffeine. The third edition of his book For God, Country, and Coca-Cola is out next month. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
This is the end of Task 2.